There we go. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Will you stand? Let's sing together.
Good morning, Kavanaugh Church family. How's everyone doing today? Good to the five of you. Hey, how's everyone doing? All right? Good. It's Palm Sunday. So thank you so much for singing along with us, bringing your hosannas and your hallelujahs and your praises to the Lord this morning as we sing and worship Him. We're so thankful to be able to meet here on Sundays, gather together, to be able to gather around God's worship and grow with one another. So we're thankful for you. We've been praying for you all week, and we know that we can expect great things from an awesome God this morning. Amen? Amen. So we're so thankful to have you guys here. Also, any first-time guests, we want to welcome you as well. We love our church and all that goes on here, and we want to be able to tell you all about it. So in the chair back in front of you, there's a Connect card. Fill that out and turn that in after service out these doors to the Connect counter. We want to be able to get to know you, know your names, your family, and how you guys can plug in throughout the week here at Kavanaugh. We're so thankful for the Lord. This is the start of Holy Week, and we know that that Holy Week, that journey from start to finish, is a very, very long one. But we are thankful that our Jesus stuck through and He was faithful to us. So today we're worshiping Him for that reason. We're lifting up that name that God has exalted above every other names and giving glory to that. So again, thank you so much for being here with us. We're going to ask you to stand right now, and we're going to get ask His anointing on our services today. Great to see you guys. Let's pray with one another. Lord, we love you, and we're so thankful for this opportunity to be in your house again today, God. Lord, I'm so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for what this journey and what this week meant for your son. And so we're just asking now that you impact us in a mighty way today, that through the teaching of your word, God, that we remember the person of the cross and the purpose of him and what you want to do in us, in our hearts, and in our lives today. You're not done with us. You know, we're not just saved and then we're done and we got a free ticket in. No, God, you are constantly wanting to mold us and make us and sanctify us to be the people that you want us to be. So, Lord, continue that work in us today. And, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know your son, doesn't have that personal relationship, we're praying for salvation today. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen in their lives, God. So we pray for that gift to be received in them today. We love you so much, and we love our pastor. Be with him as he preaches today, and we're so excited for what you have in store for us. In your name, amen. Greet those around you, and we'll get started in a couple moments.
Thank you. you hold my head up.
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love.
Today. Sometimes as a child of God, I forget that when I'm between a rock and a hard place, I forget it sometimes when I struggle with my daily walk with God. I don't feel worthy because maybe I had a not so Christian-like thought. But as a child of God, we don't have to worry. God and His grace is sufficient. Just like He provided honey in the rock, manna on the ground, every single day. We only need to get, He put out there for us what we needed. And every day, it's the same way in our walk with God. Every day, you get up, you put your armor on, you go out, you pick up what you need, and you're good for the day. I don't got to worry about tomorrow. I don't got to worry about next week. I don't have to future trip about what's going to happen 5 years from now. I just need to walk day to day. There's honey in the rock, manna on the ground, and if you're dry today, if you're spiritually dry, if you need a refresh, a refill, there's water. There's water in the stone. There's living water, and it's right here. It's right here at the front. It's at the altar. It's where you are. It's in your car. It's in your daily Bible study. God's got what you need on the daily. And we don't have to worry about anything else. So y'all join with us as we sing Honey in the Rock. That I know no matter what I'm going through on a daily basis, you've got exactly what I need. And it's because of what you did that I have what I need. And I pray, God, that if there's somebody here that is walking through this life alone that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray today, God, that they would come and that they would accept that free gift of salvation so that they can wake up every day knowing, God, that if they trust in you, you will provide for them exactly what they need on a day-to-day basis. We don't have to worry. And I'm so thankful, God, for that reminder today. And I pray that we would carry the message of this song and the message that Brother Will has for us as we walk through this week, God. This is a special week. This is a special Sunday. And I pray, God, that we would walk out of here singing those hosannas to you for the honey and the rock that you provide for us. And it's these things in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank God for His provision this morning. Would you do that? Thank you, Lord. And providing the greatest provision, that is the blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross. Thank you for that, dear God. Glad that you're here today. I'm not going to preach a Palm Sunday sermon. I'm going to preach my final message on the big promises that God has given us. There are over 7,000 promises from God to His people in the Word of God. We've looked at 8 of them. Today is number 9. It's my final sermon, and it's this. You're going to get better. Okay, you don't believe me. You're not convinced, but you're going to get better. Today we're going to look at God's answer to your hopelessness. We're going to start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verses 23 and 24, Paul makes this amazing statement. These two verses are absolutely amazing, but you know what? When you learn them and understand what they mean, they're transformational. These two verses can change your life. Here it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, God's answer to your hopelessness. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. That is, sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and He will do it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would do it again today. Help us and change us into the people you want us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a prayer for something that has not yet happened in our lives. We know it hasn't happened because we looked at ourselves in the mirror this morning. Right? Are you with me? We aren't completely holy. We are not totally pure. Most of us don't feel close to that at all. But the key phrase in this verse is that the God of peace is going to sanctify you through and through. So that leads me to talk to you just a moment about sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Sanctification means set apart from evil and consecrated unto God. That's the technical definition. You are set apart from evil and consecrated unto good works and unto God. This happens the moment we are saved. Theologically, we call it positional sanctification or instant sanctification. When you say that prayer and invite Jesus into your heart, God transforms you from the inside out. And right then and there, you are sanctified. You become a child of God. And then this process of growth begins. We call that progressive sanctification. Every day I'm growing into the person God wants me to be. Every day I should be a little more like Jesus than I was the day before. It's a progression that takes place in your life. And then finally, there is complete sanctification. When we stand before God, we are made complete. We are made into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says he will sanctify you through and through. He's talking about positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, and complete sanctification. So that leads me to a working definition of sanctification, which is simply this. It's everything God does in your life and in my life to make sure we turn out right. All right? Sanctification guarantees that God's investment in our lives will not be wasted. It assures us that God always finishes what he starts. And he who has begun a good work inside of you will see that work to completion. We're not finished yet. We're not done yet. That's why we keep praying and seeking the Lord. That's why we keep coming to church and reading our Bible. But one day we will be finished. One day we will look just like Jesus Christ. And that's what sanctification means. So we're going to look at these two verses. In these two verses is what I call the five P's that flesh out this truth of sanctification. We're going to look at the person, the purpose, the prospect, the position, and also the promise of sanctification. I know you're counting, you're saying, that is five things. We're going to be in here forever. No, I'm going to talk fast, so you need to hang on, all right? Because here we go. Number one, the person. Who does this work of sanctification inside of us? Well, verse 23 tells us, may God himself, the God of peace. In this opening phrase, we have the guarantee of our sanctification. It is done by God himself, and he is the God of peace. Here's a truth I want you to hang on to. Only God can make you better. And if you don't hear anything else I say today, you can hang on to that. If you want to get better, if you want to be better, only God can make you better. Think about that for a moment. Exercise improves your physical body. Therapy may help your soul. Education may help your mind. Friends may lift up your spirits. Good fortune may improve your circumstances, but only God himself can make you better. God is the author and the source of all spiritual progress in our lives. It's easy to forget that truth. In our battle against sin, sometimes we crawl into a corner and we try to make ourselves better. And after a while, we step out and say, Lord, look what I've done by myself. But it's wrong to boast like that. You need to remember the words of Jesus in John 15:5. He said, without me, you can do nothing. In contrast to all our feeble efforts of moral betterment and self-improvement, Paul simply says, God himself, the God of peace. Sanctification starts with God, and if it doesn't start there, you haven't started at all. God can make you better. Number two, the purpose. This God, the God of peace, is going to sanctify you through and through. That little phrase, through and through, translates an unusual two-part Greek word that combines the word whole with the word in the end. So in the end, this God of peace, God himself, is going to make you whole. God has ordained that all of his children, all who are in the family of God, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God has ordained that you be made complete. Now, I for one know that I'm not that way right now. Are you? Most of us feel fragmented and torn in a thousand different directions, but you need to remember this morning, that God is working on you. Right now, God's working on you. I used to have a friend who was in construction, and he would put it like this. He would talk about the sounds going on inside of his body. He said they were the sounds of hammering and sawing going on the inside. Because God's working on us. When we finally get to heaven, the hammers and the saws are going to be put away. And we're going to stand before the Lord with every part in its place and every single aspect of our life made perfect. We're not finished yet, but we will be. We're not completely clean today, but we're going to be. We're not wholly wise yet, but we will be. Commenting on this passage of Scripture, one commentator said, God intends the entire renovation of man. That's God's intention. The entire renovation of you. And if you watched any of those renovation shows on TV, you understand what he's talking about. Huh? Angie's a big fan of those reno shows. I sometimes sit down and watch them with her, like Hometown. You know that one, Flip or Flop, Good Bones. Right now, I think Miss Angie's favorite is No Demo Reno. Y'all know that one? Jen, her name's Jen, beautiful redheaded lady. She doesn't demolish the house. She just goes in and renos the house. Of course, it all started with Chip and Joanna Gaines, Fixer Upper, down in Waco, Texas. You say, Brother Will, you don't know Texas geography. Yeah, I do. It's Waco in Waco. All those shows, no matter which ones they are, follow the same plan. You find this distressed property, and then you start renovating it. If it goes well, the customer that you're renovating it for, like Chip and Joe do, they're happy and they're smiling and crying and they're, oh, it's my forever home. I'm so happy with this home. Until 5 years later, they sell it, but whatever. Or you reno it and you sell it yourself for a profit. But you know what? Things never go well, do they? Usually they get started with a bang. Chip brings his team in and they do demo work in the house. They're tearing out walls and tearing out electrical wiring, and sometimes they're digging up the foundation and knocking out windows so they can put in French doors. And you know Joe, she's always going to have an island in her kitchen, and she goes and gets that special made for every project. But then trouble hits. And old Chip flips out his phone and he calls Joe and says, baby, you won't believe it, but we got trouble over here. The foundation is cracked, or the roof is going to have to be replaced, or we found mold in the bathroom. And it looks like the renovation project has turned into a disaster. You've watched those shows. The producers always put the trouble just before a commercial break, guaranteeing that you're going to stay in there and you're going to see what happens. Once the crisis is passed, they can finish the renovation. Here's what I've learned from watching those shows. Number one, renovation always takes a whole lot longer than you estimated. Number two, it's going to cost you a whole lot more money than you originally planned. And then number three, it's always harder than it looks. I mean, that's some good preaching right there, people. Come on. Y'all loosen up a little bit and say amen. Amen. And if you think houses are hard, try renovating the human life. There's always something that needs to be fixed. Or if we try to fix it on our own, it's going to break again. Or we fix one thing and another thing breaks. We stop one bad habit and then another bad habit starts. A great many of us are what I call leaky Christians. And we're filled with cracks that need putty. Tough job. In fact, it's so tough, the only one who can adequately do it or even attempt it is the God of peace. Some of us take 25 years, some 30, some 40. Some of us take up to 50 years, and the job, it still ain't done. God eventually says, you know what, I've done all I can do down there. I'm going to bring you up here where the conditions are a little bit better to work in. Today we are wholly only in spots, but when God finishes with us, we're going to be holy through and through. Now, I'm not getting on to you, but when I preached this in the first service, people were shouting, they were jumping up and down, they were running up and down the aisles, because that is good news, my friend. That's good. Number three, the prospect. Here's what God is going to sanctify: your whole spirit, soul, and body. This phrase tells us the extent of our sanctification. God intends to renovate the whole person. Nothing is going to be left out. Nothing is going to be overlooked. Every part of you is going to be made perfect in the end. Now, let's just suppose right now you could change one thing about yourself that you did not like, what would you change? Where would you start? Well, I think most of us would start on the outside, because there's that one thing about us that we just don't like. We've never liked it. We've always dreamed about being different in this aspect of our life. Maybe it's your eyes or your hair or your teeth or your legs or your bulges. You're tired of it bulging this way and you want it to bulge this way. But isn't that true? I mean, if you could think of that one thing you would change right now, raise your hand. Okay? The rest of you are not listening to me here. What would it be that you change? And again, for most of us, that thought would be something on the outside. I didn't tell this story in the first service. I think I've told you this before, but I've got a sister. Her name is Sharita. She's 2 years older than I am. And we are as different as daylight and dark. I mean, we look different. We think different. We act differently. My sister is physically, she's as brown as a biscuit. I mean, she goes out in the sun and she just turns this golden brown. She has black hair. I can remember as a kid, we went down to Old Mexico, and when we came back across the border, the officer looked at Dad, looked at Mom, looked at me. There's no problem there. But he stopped at my sister and he said, "Make her talk." Because they thought we were smuggling a little Mexican girl back over into the United States. But no, she's actually my sister. Anyway, she's that way. She's just as brown as she can be. And I'm not. I mean, I'm as pure white as the driven snow. And looking at it, my whole life, I wanted to be like my sister. My whole life, if there's one thing I could change, it would have been to be golden brown like she was. I don't know what it was. I was envious of that part of my sister. I wanted to be dark like her. Based on this, listen to this one story. I was in the sixth grade, Emerson Elementary School. It was field day. Now, those of you my age, do you remember field day? Did y'all have field day? It was a fun day. It usually came in late spring, right before summer break, and it was a fun day. You'd go out and have races, and you'd get to eat outside, and I mean, it was just filled with fun things. It was the only day of the year that kids could wear shorts to school where I went to school. You couldn't wear shorts other than on field day. And I was, you know this, I was the fastest kid in my class. I mean, I was lightning fast. Flash Harmon's what they called me. Yeah. Not really, but I wanted to win the 50-yard dash. And so I got up that morning and I decided I was going to wear shorts and my tube socks and my Puma shoes. Anybody remember Puma shoes from back then? That you were cool if you had Pumas, and they were track shoes, they were fast shoes. So I put that on, went to the bus stop. The bus left before daylight, you know. And we were driving to school, and the sun started coming out. And the prettiest girl on the bus, who was a couple years older than me, she did this. I was sitting behind her, and she looked again. And then she looked a third time. She said, "William, those are your legs." I'm not finished yet. She said, "I thought you were wearing white pants." My sister had a name for me. She called me Marilena White Legs. We had this little girl in our church, Marilena Crawford. Her mama would never let her go outside. She was whiter than these drums right here. I mean, she was just as... And so my sister would make fun of me. Marilena White Legs, Marilena White Legs. I'm telling you, all the damage done in my brain when I was a kid. She would pin me on the ground. You know how you do and put your knees on somebody's arms and do this to their chest? Marilena White Legs, Marilena White Legs. So there's that one thing for me. What is it for you? You know, all the hope, all the desire, all the wishing that you could do is never going to change those aspects of your life. And I wish I could go back to last Sunday and talk about the things we worry about. Those things we worry about so much, you can't change them. I don't care anymore. Aren't they pretty? I relish my whiteness these days. Eventually, though, you got to come to the things of the heart. Because those things you can't change on the outside. The things that really need to change about you are on the inside. But people change slowly if they change at all. Think about all the struggles of your own life. What would you change about yourself on the inside if you could this morning? Would it be that impatient spirit? Or maybe the critical tongue that always gets you in trouble? Or the envy of those around you? Or the spirit of discontentment that drives your life? Or that lingering resentment that won't go away? The lust that you can't conquer? The guilty conscience that goes along with it? That judgmental spirit that guides your life? The quick temper? The profound discouragement? That ungrateful spirit that you live with every day. Here's the good news of the gospel. We are going to be changed. All of those things are going to change. The stuff about ourselves that drives us crazy, they are going to be changed forever. God has promised we are going to get better. That master craftsman, the God of all peace, He's going to transform your body, your soul, and your mind. That brings me to number four, the position. He is going to make us blameless at the coming of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to make you blameless. You're blameless if no one can bring a charge against you. That's not true of most of us right now. We stumble in many ways. God intends, however, that when we stand before Him and when He says, "Does anyone in the universe know any reason that this person should not be allowed into my heaven?" He knows that at that point, if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you have been born again, if the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from your sins, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, after a loud silence, no one, not the angels or the demons, not the saints or the sinners, no one in all the universe is going to be able to bring a charge against you, because the great God of peace has made you blameless. Yeah. The Good News Bible says that God will sanctify us so that we are free from any fault. Phillips' translation uses the phrase spotless integrity. God's desire is for all of His children to become blameless. None of us achieves this in our own life, but you know what? Better things are coming for the Christian. When Jesus returns, two great things are going to happen for the believer. Number one, our character is going to be revealed. And number two, our perfection is going to be made complete. We are so far from this right now. I mean, I'm miles away from it. And I tell you what, it's discouraging sometimes. You know, I try to stay fit. Man, you get as old as I am, it's a struggle just to maintain what you got. But I get on these fit kicks, and man, I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna lose 10 pounds. I'm gonna lose 20 pounds of fat and gain 50 pounds of muscle. You know? And you make this commitment, you're gonna eat right, you're gonna exercise, you're gonna do this and that, and you go for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and nothing has changed. Oh, there's only two people out there that cannot. And it's discouraging. But let me tell you this. Spiritual growth can be discouraging at times too. It's like climbing Mount Everest. The closer you get to the top, the further away it seems. But let me tell you something, friends. God has a reason for all of this. He wants us to depend on Him for everything. He designed life so that it works only when He is in charge of everything. When we try to run the show, as often as we do, things begin to fall apart. If the Christian life is left up to us, we're going to fail every time. Only God can give us what we need to be victorious. Today we don't feel blameless because we're not blameless. We are, in fact, blameworthy, and we are all unfinished people. But when God is finally finished with us, we are going to stand blameless in His presence. And that, my friend, is the good news from this passage. I end with number 5. It's the promise. It's found in verse 24. The one who called you is faithful. And read this with me. He will do it. The one who called you is faithful, and He will do it. This little phrase is all important. Our hope, both in this life and in the life to come, rests upon the faithfulness of God. His faithfulness bears the weight of our puny efforts. Look at that verse again. The one who calls you is faithful. Do you know what we are today? Every one of us in this room, we are unfinished children of God. We are a work in progress. We're all under construction. I think we're all aware of construction sites. It's long, loud, noisy, messy. That's why most of us hear this sound of hammering and sawing going on inside of us. God never stops His work because there's so much work that needs to be done inside of us. Y'all remember back in 1501? In 1501, a 26-year-old sculptor by the name of Michelangelo was offered a considerable sum of money to produce something worthwhile from this enormous block of marble. What you don't know is that 3 other sculptors had already started on that block of marble, and they couldn't do anything with it. As he began his work, he saw this major flaw in the marble down at the base. He decided to turn that part of the stone into a broken tree stump that would support the right leg of what he was sculpting. He worked on the marble for 4 solid years until he had produced the incomparable David. Have y'all seen that? I was going to throw it up here on the screen, but David is, he doesn't have any clothes on, and you didn't need to see that in here today, but it is spectacular. Today, that 17-foot tall statue stands on display at the Accademia Gallery in Florence, where people from around the world come to view it. More than a masterpiece, it is one of the greatest works of art ever produced. Some experts say there is no statue more perfect than Michelangelo's David. How did he do it? I mean, how did he do that? How did he see that in that block of marble? How did he do it? So some of you are going to go home and research this because that's just what you do. You Google me to prove me right or wrong. Let me tell you, half the people say he said this. The other half said he didn't say it. I'm going to say he said it because it makes for good preaching. Right? How did he do it? Here's what Angelo said. I simply cut away anything that didn't look like David. Now you apply that to the spiritual life. All of us are works in progress. We're all under construction. Again, if you've ever visited a construction zone, you know that it's noisy and it looks messy. And while all the hammering and sawing continues, it's hard to imagine what the final project is going to look like. But our God never stops working on us because there's so much to be done. In my mind's eye, I picture God as a sculptor working on this big, rough piece of, it's not marble, it's just junk rock. A big chunk or chump that He's named Will Harmon. It's hard work because this chunk of rock is badly marred, it's misshapen, it's discolored, it's cracked in odd places. It's about the worst piece of marble or rock a sculptor could find. But you know what? My God is not undeterred, and he works patiently at his job, chipping away the bad parts, chiseling an image into the hard stone, stopping occasionally to polish here and there. One day he finishes this one intricate piece, and he steps back and he says, "That's exactly what I'm looking for." The next morning he comes back into the studio and looked at it, and it's messed up. And he says out loud, "I thought I finished that yesterday. Who's been messing with my statue?" With a guilty look, I raise my hand. Because I am my own worst enemy. But you know what? God is faithful. He patiently picks up that chisel and he goes back to work. He chips away everything in my life that doesn't look like Jesus. In my case, he's got a long way to go, but you know what? I am encouraged by the knowledge that my God is not going to stop halfway through a project. What my God starts, my God finishes. Amen. Think of those four words at the end of verse 24. He will do it. They are simple and direct words. No qualification, no hesitation, no doubt of any kind. Not he may do it, or he might do it, or he could do it, or he'll do it if he feels like it. Not even he will do it if we do our part. No, just a simple declarative statement that God will do it. When it's all said and done, what matters is not my hold on God, it's God's hold on me. And that's the final promise of our series, Big Promises from God. Look at me. Here it is. You are going to get better. You're going to get better. In fact, you're going to get perfect. We're not there yet. We have flaws. We have weak spots, lots of rough edges. But our Heavenly Father has picked up the hammer and chisel, and he has begun a good work in our life. One day, when we stand before Jesus Christ, we will be whole. We will be complete. We will be sanctified through and through. No more hammering, no more sawing, no more finished work. Some days it feels like I'm not making any progress at all, but that's okay because I know my Father is still working in my life. Little by little, he is chipping away everything inside of me that doesn't look like his Son, Jesus. One day, all of us unfinished people will be sanctified through and through. We'll stand before the Lord, and we will be blameless in his sight. We know this is true because God always finishes what he starts. When God is finally finished, you're going to be just like Jesus Christ. And my friend, you can take that to the bank this morning. Faithful is he who called you. He will do it. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've not started this process of God working in you, you need to come to Jesus. That's what this week is all about. It's about his passion, his death on Calvary's cross. This coming Friday, we are going to celebrate that occasion where Jesus took your sin, our sins. They were placed on his own body as he hung on Calvary's cross. His blood was shed for you to take your sins away. And Freddie, all you have to do is believe. You can be saved today. You can be made complete in heaven today simply by believing in Jesus. We say it's as simple as what? ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. You are. B, believe only Jesus can save you. He's the only one who can. And C, confess him with your mouth that he is Lord of your life. If you've never done that, I beg you to come to Jesus today. He's waiting to forgive you. If you are a Christian, okay, remember, realize, he's still working on you. There's hope because it's gonna get better. So why don't you just allow him to keep chiseling away the parts of you that don't look like his Son, Jesus. In fact, why don't you come to the altar this morning and lay before Him all of those things that you're so worried about, all of those things that are detaining your spiritual growth. You just say, Lord, keep working on me. Have your hope in Him. Why? He will do it. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that You would work in our hearts, right now that You would change our lives. I know Your Spirit is in this room. I know it because I can feel Him, but I also know it because You've promised that in Your Word. And You've also promised that if we would lift up Jesus, that Jesus would draw all men, women, boys, and girls to Himself. So we've lifted up Jesus today. I pray right now You would draw people to You. For those in this room who've never been saved, I pray that today they would come and pray that sinner's prayer. For the rest of us who are just having a hard time with life, may we come and allow You to work in us and through us. Meet our needs today as only You can, and we will praise You for it. Because You are God Himself, the God of all peace. Sanctify us through and through, body, soul, and spirit. Make us blameless, Lord. I know You'll do it because we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed as the praise team sings? Altars are open. Come and use them this morning. Come, bring your life, your needs, your family to the Lord. Come to Him as He calls you. Thank You for Your work that You're doing in our lives. Thank You for those who came to pray today. I pray, dear Lord, that You would just lift those burdens and replace that care with the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, if there is anyone in this room who's never received Jesus, I pray that they would give that great consideration this day. And before this day ends, I pray that they would pray that prayer and invite Jesus into their heart. Lord, for the rest of us, help us to know, be confident that You are faithful, that You're going to complete the good work You've started in our lives, and that things are going to get better. Thank You for giving us hope, Jesus. For we ask this in Your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated just for a moment. God is good. His mercy endures forever. So glad that you're with us today. Let me just remind you of a couple of things that are coming up. If you're a church member, make sure you drop your offering in one of those black boxes. If you're a guest, fill out that guest card, the Connect card. Take it through these doors. There's a Connect counter right there, and they're going to exchange that card for a gift. So please do that. A lot going on this next week. Well, let me tell you, Thursday night, we're going to have our midweek service. So don't show up on Wednesday night. Instead, come Thursday night. We're going to have a special service that we've called the Upper Room Service. Why? Because that's what Jesus called it. The Thursday before his crucifixion on Maundy Thursday, he instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples, and then he washed their feet. So this Thursday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to assemble in this room. This is our upper room, all right? We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. It's going to be a very simple service, but very, very impactful. Earlier that day, in fact, at 8 o'clock on Thursday, Brother Johnny is inviting people to come stuff Easter eggs. Gail, I don't know how many he has, over 10,000 probably, close to 10,000, probably 10,000 eggs at least. Because on Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, this all of our property is going to be filled with these plastic eggs with candy on the inside. That's going to happen at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Thursday at 8 o'clock, he's looking for egg stuffers. Have you ever been trained to stuff eggs? You don't have to have a certification. Just show up, all right? He'll show you how to do it. We're putting candy inside of eggs. And here's the deal. After you have stuffed 100 eggs, you get one piece of candy, all right? What a great deal, man. What a great deal. So anyway, that's happening on Thursday, and then on Saturday, the Easter egg hunt. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and it's always a big day here at Kavanaugh Church. Remember the big flower cross that we had outside the building last year that was so beautiful, and many people had their picture made there. In fact, people would drive by on 540 and see that, pull in, and have their picture made at our flower cross. We're going to have that again. It's not the same cross, not the same flowers. First service, they laughed at that joke. Y'all are so difficult this morning. It's going to be new flowers. It's going to be beautiful. Also, last year we had cookies. Remember those cookies? I stayed up all night Saturday night baking those cookies for you. And as good as they were, we're not doing cookies this year. What are we doing? Cinnamon rolls. You show up next Sunday, you're going to have a cinnamon roll from... A warm cinnamon roll. We going to tell them where they're from? Huh? Yeah, that's where they're from. Calico County. Have you ever had Calico County cinnamon rolls? They're the best. I'm enticing you to come. For the kids, we're going to have all kinds of little farm animals. Jason's pulled this off. Little chicks, ducks, baby lambs, baby pigs. Big one. Big surprise, baby kangaroo. Baby kangaroo. It's going to be awesome. So the kids can come, have their picture made with all that. I can't wait till next Sunday. And besides all that, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. And people are going to be saved. It's going to be fantastic. Hey, if you're a veteran and you've not received a quilt from one of our quilters, please sign up in the lobby on one of the iPads for all of our veterans. Our quilt club is making you a special quilt. So thank you for being a veteran, protecting us, and allowing these ladies to give you a quilt of honor. One last thing, on Thursday night, April the 4th, we're going to have Chuckles here. He is a comedian, and I understand, Steve Jones, you used to watch Chuckles on TV. He had 5 years, I think, he had a TV show. Very funny comedian. He's going to be here. It's a fundraiser for family ministries that we support and we love so much. Put that on your calendar and make sure that you show up for that. One last thing. I've got a card here I want to read to you. It's from Larry and Billy Howard, who are back with us today. It says, "It is a special feeling when you are aware of people praying for you. It gives you strength when you didn't think you had it and comforts you in those trying moments. We have been very aware that our church family has been praying for us. We can't thank you enough for those prayers. Also, we appreciated all the visits, calls, and the plant we received. We love Kavanaugh, our church for life. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. Larry and Billy, we're praying for you guys. Amen. Hey, remember this, the staff loves you, I love you, but most of all, Jesus loves you, and he can do it. Amen? Get out of here.